If you're a talk radio junkie like me, you might assume that the programming is free. Commercial advertisers pay for the production costs and staff salaries. Well, that's true for most radio talk shows, but not for Issues Etc. Issues Etc. is listener-supported. We rely on you to pay for the production, salary, and airtime costs for this worldwide outreach. Hi, this is Todd Wilkin, asking you to consider making a tax-deductible gift to Issues Etc. today. You can donate online, issuesetc.org, or you can donate by check. Make your check payable to Lutheran Public Radio. The address? LPR, Box 912, Collinsville, Illinois, 62234. LPR, Box 912, Collinsville, Illinois, 62234. Remember, unlike other talk radio shows, Issues Etc. needs your financial support. We depend on you for the continuation and expansion of Issues Etc. Thanks for your consideration.
And that message, quite simply, is those soldiers are dying for your sins. Mercifully, you're still alive. Mourn for your sins, put them away, and obey. Step away from our faith. We're your only friend. We're your only hope.
That's Margie Phelps, attorney for Westboro Baptist Church in Topeka, Kansas, reacting to the Supreme Court decision and reiterating the message of Westboro Baptist Church when it comes to fallen soldiers. You brought it on yourself. We know where they stand on that issue. We know the protests. We know the legal fight here. What do they believe other than that? Is Westboro Baptist Church still Christian in what it believes, teaches, and confesses in every other respect? Joining us to answer that question on this Wednesday afternoon, March the 3rd, Chris Roseborough. He has a degree in religious studies from Concordia University, California, and he's interviewed Shirley Phelps Roper, daughter of Pastor Fred Phelps, on his daily internet program called Fighting for the Faith. Chris, welcome back.
Thanks for having me back on, Todd. Could have picked an easier topic.
Hey, you can handle it. Look, Christians of goodwill can disagree over whether or not the Supreme Court decision was good or bad when it comes to the protests as religious freedom of Westboro Baptist Church. But what we're here to talk about is what they believe, teach, and confess, not is it legal, is it Christian?
Right.
How would you answer that simple question?
I would say no. Westboro Baptist Church really behaves and operates more like a cult than it does, and kind of a personality cult around its founder, Fred Phelps, than it does a Christian church. There's some Christian doctrine there. They use the Bible. They're very well-versed in the Scriptures. But I've spoken with Shirley Phelps Roper, and I've interviewed several of the members of Westboro Baptist Church when they come around to Indianapolis. They do get up as far as Indy up here. I've gone to their protests and interviewed them, and over and over and over and over and over again, what I hear from these folks is that the gospel message is obey, obey, and obey. That's not the gospel. That's the law, and they really don't have a proper understanding of what Christ did for us on the cross. Their view of God is not the biblical God. The God they believe in is really more akin to a monster, and they have a lot of zeal. They have a lot of zeal. But they really don't understand the gospel. They don't understand the merciful and loving Savior who was scourged, bled, naked, and bleeding, and dying on the cross for our sins. And the sad part about it is when I speak to them, when I've spoken to the members of Westboro Baptist Church as to whether or not they even have assurance of them even making it into the kingdom of heaven to a T, I mean, to a member, each of them has told me they don't know if they're going to make it, but they hope so, which basically tells me that they have a crossless Christianity, a hateful and wrathful God, that there is no mercy, there is no forgiveness, and as a result of it, the message they preach creates a horrible image of God, and it's not the image that's shown and revealed to us in our great God and Savior, Jesus Christ.
Does that explain to you why this false teaching that you've just outlined here can and does, in their case, manifest itself in the way in their public behavior, especially with regard to fallen soldiers in the funerals?
Yeah, I think so. I think there's a lot more going on than that, but it really does come back to really the preaching and teaching that they're getting and the doctrine that they're getting. They take, you know, they really take their really mis- on this their the wrong doctrine, and they take it to its logical conclusions in the actions that they do. They really remind me more, they're more motivated by the same things that motivate the Mormons or the Jehovah's Witnesses or other cultists like the Hare Krishnas to do the things that they do and do in the past. It's fear motivated. It's striving after righteousness, kind of a chasing after the wind. And if you disagree with them or run afoul of their peculiar ideas regarding who God is and what He's about, I mean these are people who end up literally ostracizing their own children, and if a kid disagrees and goes a different way, it's like they basically act like that child didn't even exist. It's really, really sad and tragic when you really take a look at it in light of the gospel and what the freedom we have in Christ is, that we're set free from all of the things that the Mosaic Law can never set us free from, and yet all they see in the Scriptures is God's law, and they see His wrath, but they don't see His kindness, and they don't see His mercy, and they're not even sure if it applies to them. In a lot of ways, I actually feel sorry and sad for the people who are at Westboro Baptist Church, because the God they believe in isn't really the true God that's there for us, who bled for us and died for us.
How much of this, in your conversations with Shirley Feltroper or the other members that you've talked to at the protests, how much of this is due to a cult that surrounds man, namely Fred Phelps?
I think that's really the gist of it. Fred Phelps is a very charismatic character. He's very well educated. I think he was an attorney before he really became this independent Baptist minister. And I mean, he's just he's a very lucid thinker, and his theology is actually internally consistent. The problem is it's not biblically consistent, and so he's really the wellspring of many of these bizarre teachings and ideas that they have, and so in a very real sense, it's a cult of personality that centers around Fred Phelps.
What do they make, if anything, of the rest of us Christians? How do they consider us?
Oh. we're sold out, dude. I mean, we're gonna fry. You, me, all the Lutherans. Anybody who's really not associated with them. I mean, the way they act and behave. I mean, there's probably very, very, very few Christians on the planet, except for them and those who are members in good standing at Westboro Baptist. That's how minute they are in their thinking.
So, I mean, is it going too far to say that? Perhaps not to a person, but some of them might go so far as saying the only people who are saved are members of Westboro Baptist Church, and maybe not even them.
Yeah, see, that's a funny thing, is when you ask an individual member of Westboro Baptist Church, are you going to go to heaven? I've asked them straight up. They said, I don't know. I don't want to be so presumptuous as to believe that I'm actually part of the elect. The best I can tell you is I hope so.
You mentioned bizarre teachings. I mean, other than how it exhibits itself in their public behavior, where would you begin in describing some of the non-Christian, more bizarre elements of their teachings and practices?
Well, obviously they're known for their anti-gay picketing, but it doesn't really stop there. That all is tied back into tied back into their belief that the gospel is obey, obey, obey. And so, I mean, they're known for the fact that they're really down on Catholics, certain Protestants, Eastern Orthodox, Islam. I mean, they think that Barack Obama is the Antichrist. I watched a video not too long ago of Shirley Phelps Roper on YouTube, where she literally opens up the YouTube video by basically saying "Greetings, Earthlings," and then goes on to explain how Barack Obama is the Antichrist and all this kind of stuff. And there's a certain eschatological expectation in what they're doing, and kind of a lot of talk of them being the remnant, that we're all duped, that we're all, it's over for us in the United States. God has already unleashed His judgments, and there's no hope. I mean, He's not going to change His mind. And it's just this complete doom and gloom, wrath of God now, and they've got the end times figured out, and And it's just really kind of a big hodgepodge of one big legalistic religion run amok, which actually, funny enough, has some ties kind of into a hyper-Calvinistic view of the scriptures. So that's the other part of it that's really strange.
What do you mean by that?
The double predestination and views of election. You know, Fred Phelps actually borrows stuff from Calvinism, but he really twists it in such a way that at the end of the day, you know, it doesn't look anything like the Calvinism that we get from like a Michael Horton or a Kim Riddlebarger. It's a really, really weird thing that he's done. But again, the guy is like evilly wicked in a genius kind of way. It's frightening when you really look at what these people are up to and what they say.
They say repent. This mm-hmm. is a big feature of their message. We're trying yep. to save you or help you, trying to show you some compassion by telling you to repent and obey.
Yep.
That's their constant message. Do they have a biblical view of repentance as far as you can tell, Chris?
No, because here's the deal. The Bible teaches repentance. You know, the Greek word is metanoia. And so the idea is that when you read the scriptures, we learn that Dr. Rosenblatt kind of puts it this way, and he's my mentor. He says that the scriptures teach us that even repentance is a gift from God. And there's this beautiful picture of repentance that Jesus gives us when he tells us the story of the parable of the lost sheep and the 99 that kind of stayed where they were and the one lost sheep. And so Jesus gives a picture of repentance as the shepherd going and searching for the lost sheep. And then he finds him and picks him up and carries the sheep back with him back to the flock. And he says, "Rejoice with me, you know." And it says, and Jesus said that when that the angels rejoice in heaven over one sinner who's repented, and he likens that to repentance. Their view of repentance actually is a change of behavior, not a change of mind. The one that where metanoia is that you've changed your mind, and God has granted that to you, so that you say, "I'm in the wrong, and God is in the right. I'm a sinner, Lord, please forgive me." In their view, you have to repent, and that means to change your behavior and obey, and then and only then could you possibly be a candidate for Christ's forgiveness as part of the election kind of thing. That would be actually viewed as a sign that you're part of the elect.
Wow. When we come back, we really need to unpack that one, because this isn't repent and believe the gospel, the good news, the forgiveness of sins. This is repent and obey. And even then, you can't really be sure that there's any forgiveness. And you know, without forgiveness, there's just no salvation. Stay tuned.
When you need a friend, you have a friend in Jesus Christ, the Good Shepherd, and friends among his people at Good Shepherd Lutheran Church, Arnold, Missouri. At Good Shepherd Lutheran Church, we offer Christ-centered word and sacrament ministry, inspirational liturgical worship services, and faithful preaching and teaching. Sunday worship services are at 9 a.m. Sunday school and Bible class are at 10:30. We also have an excellent Christian preschool. We invite you to join us. Good Shepherd Lutheran Church, 2211 Tenbrook Road, Arnold, Missouri, 636-296-1292.
Issues, etc. is listener-supported. That means we rely on you for the continuation and expansion of this worldwide outreach. Hi, this is Todd Wilkin. Please consider making a tax-deductible gift to Issues, etc. today. You can donate online, issuesetc.org, or by check. Make your check payable to Lutheran Public Radio and send it to LPR, Box 912, Collinsville, Illinois, 62234. Thanks for your support.
Defending the faith, teaching the truth. You're listening to Issues, Etc.
Did you know that you can listen to Issues, Etc. 24/7? Check out our website, issuesetc.org, and go to the Listen On Demand page. Listen at the gym, in your kitchen, in your garden, on your iPod, your computer, or in your car. The technology may be new, but the truth never changes. Issues, Etc. on-demand audio, available for your convenience at issuesetc.org. 10 hours of new programming each week. issuesetc.org, and click Listen On Demand.
Would you like for us to post information about your congregation on the Find a Church page of our website? We'll add your church when it becomes part of the Issues, Etc. 300. We're looking for 300 congregations to donate $1,000 to Issues, Etc. please consider adding the worldwide outreach of Issues Etc. to your church's mission or advertising budget. Find out more about the Issues Etc. 300 at issuesetc.org. Click support and publicize your congregation to the world.
Jesus on the mountain peak stands alone in glory blazing. Let us, if we dare to speak, join the saints and angels praising. Alleluia.
Tomorrow on Issues Etc., we'll study the Transfiguration hymn, Jesus on the Mountain Peak. Pastor Will Whedon of St. Paul Lutheran Church in Hamel, Illinois, will be our guest. We're talking about the beliefs and practices of Westboro Baptist Church. Chris Roseborough is our guest. Our call-in number for your questions and your comments live this Wednesday, March the 3rd, 1-877-623-MYIE, 877-623-6943. Send us an email, talkback at issuesetc.org, or a tweet at issuesetc. This comes from Michael in Illinois. Chris, he says, in my unfortunate interaction with this group several years ago, I found it felicitously inconsistent that they hold that God kills soldiers because of America's policies regarding homosexuals, but when their church is bombed, it was the devil trying to silence them. They had nothing to do with the fact that they had abandoned God's word by ordaining a woman pastor just 2 weeks prior. Your thoughts on Michael's observation?
That's a keen observation. I would just point that that's not a felicitous inconsistency. That's just flat-out inconsistency. You know, it reminds me, here's the deal, is that, you know, they claim to be getting this special revelation from God and can divine as to, you know, what the message is that God is trying to send to America, because we've had a few soldiers die, you know, overseas, and the numbers have been kind of, you know, been trickling in less and less and less over the past few years because our active engagements overseas are not quite what they used to be. But the point of the matter is that when you read the book of Job, Elihu, who was one of Job's comforters, is trying to convince Job that he needs to repent, and that the reason why Job had suffered so much loss is because Job was really actually unrighteous, and that he was guilty of some grievous sin, and he's trying to get him to confess his sin, because the only logical explanation for the terrible things that had happened to Job were the fact that he obviously was in rebellion against God. But we all know the punchline, we all know the joke, because at the beginning of the story of Job, we learn that the reason why Job suffered loss was because of his great faith, and because God had allowed him to be tested and to be sifted. And so it's very difficult for us to look at things that are happening out in the world and try to draw some sharp, a clear message as it coming from God. It is all the terrible things that are happening as a result of our sin? Yes, but all of us are sinful by nature. And what was funny is in my interview with Shirley Phelps Roper, at the beginning of the interview, I asked her if she was a sinner. And she said, well, you know that I am. I would be lying to you if I said that I wasn't. And so I kind of kept that information tucked away for a later part of my interview with her. And I pulled out the Lord's Prayer, and I basically asked her, I said, do you pray the Lord's Prayer? She took issue at me calling it that, but then she eventually got around to coming to saying that, yes, she does pray that thing. And I said, is it not supposed to be a daily prayer where we pray, Lord, forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us? You know, you said earlier, Shirley, that you were a sinner, and when you pray the prayer that the Lord taught us to pray, you're taught to pray daily, Lord, forgive us our trespasses. I said, so if the message of the gospel is really obey and obey and obey, then why aren't you obeying? Why is it that you daily have to plead for God to forgive you of your sins? If really salvation is based upon this idea that we have to obey, then you don't even qualify. Well, that got her pretty much upset, and it shut the conversation and the interview down pretty quickly. But the point is the same, and that is this, is that if obey is really the message of the gospel, then there is no hope for any of us. And that's the reason why none of the people in Westboro Baptist Church have any assurance of salvation, because they cannot comprehend and they do not understand what is revealed in the gospel, that God, in Jesus Christ, took on all of our sins upon himself, and on the cross was literally suffering all of the damnation and wrath of God in our place, and that by faith all of his perfect righteousness is imputed to us as if we're the ones who lived it. The good news is such good news, and they don't get it. And as a result of it, they're left twisting in the wind, in the blowing desert winds of the law, hoping and praying that they're warning everybody about how bad they are, but somehow forgetting how wicked they are, that they still have to pray, Lord, forgive us our trespasses, will somehow get us into heaven, and it won't. It just is a tragedy beyond belief.
What do they believe Jesus was doing up on that cross, if not paying the full price for the sins of all mankind and procuring for sinners like you and me full and free salvation, there in the culmination of his obedience, as assures us of our salvation? If not that, what was he doing there?
Dying for the sins of the elect, according to Shirley Phelps Roper. And Christ didn't shed a single drop of blood more than what was necessary to atone for the sins of the elect, period.
So, I mean, to put that together with what they said before, Jesus hardly needed to shed any blood at all if so few are going to be saved.
Probably. It's, you know, when you take their theology to its logical conclusions, I mean, you basically have to come to the conclusion that all of humanity, from Adam all the way to the last person that draws their last breath, is actually damned, and that there is no hope for any of us.
Do you think, and I'm asking you here just to kind of put together as a kind of a jigsaw puzzle everything you know about what they believe, teach, and confess, and then how their movement has progressed, really fueled by media attention. Do you think they're done when Fred Phelps is done, or when, you know, there are no more soldiers coming home in body bags?
Yeah, I don't think they're done when there's no more soldiers coming home in body bags. The American culture is drifting back into paganism, and we have a post-Christian culture out there. I think they'll always have something to point out or point the finger at as a means of trying to not have to pay attention to their own sins. But whether or not the church will survive after Fred, I think it will. My suspicion is that Shirley would take the reins. That somebody in the Phelps family, because they're a very tight knit little dynasty that they got in there, that somebody will arise, and that they've probably worked out some kind of succession plan. Whether or not that person will bring the same kind of fire and quirkiness as Fred is remains to be seen. But I think even after Fred passes, we should expect to see Westboro Baptist for some time to come.
Finally, two parts. What's fundamentally wrong with the teaching of Westboro Baptist Church, and what do these poor souls really need to hear?
What's fundamentally wrong is that they focus in on only God's wrath and his law, and they do have no concept of the biblical gospel. As a result of it, there's no hope. They only see God's wrath. In many ways, they accurately understand what the Bible teaches regarding God's wrath, but they don't have any real understanding of the gospel and the good news that Christ died for the sins of the world, and they can't make sense of the words of John the Baptist, "Behold, the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world." So they don't understand that the message of the Scriptures, the gospel message that Christ has called us to preach, is a twin proclamation of repentance and the forgiveness of sins. They think the message is just pure repentance and obedience, and they forget the wonderful good news of the forgiveness of sins won by Christ, and as a result of it, they have no assurance of their salvation, because they have no assurance that they're keeping the law, because they know that they're not. And so the whole tragedy behind the whole thing is that they've presented a false god to the world, and they themselves are not going to be saved despite their zeal.
Real quickly, I know you, Chris, I know you had to have shared that with them when you talk with them. How did they react when you present before them, placard before them, Christ's full obedience and sufficient death and resurrection?
It was met with scoffing.
Chris Roseborough has a degree in religious studies from Concordia University, California. He's interviewed Shirley Phelps Roper, daughter of Pastor Fred Phelps, on his daily internet program called Fighting for the Faith. You can listen to Fighting for the Faith after the conclusion of Issues, Etc. at piratechristianradio.com. Chris, thank you.
Thank you.
Tomorrow on Issues, Etc., we'll study the Transfiguration hymn, Jesus on the Mountain Peak. It's short and sweet, but there is much there for us to learn and appreciate and be comforted in. Pastor Will Wheaton will be our guest. Also tomorrow, we'll play Issues, Etc., soundbite of the week. Monday, We'll talk with Pastor Eric Rotman of Good News Magazine about the names of Jesus. They are many. We barely scratch the surface of them, but all of them contain the comfort of his perfect obedience all the way to the cross for us. That's Monday on Issues, Etc. What a bleak world it must be to live in, knowing a God who is only wrath, who is only stern demands that must be obeyed. I don't see any difference between that and Allah, a false god, really. Not when you pare it down. What a bleak world it must be to live in where there is no hope, really, much less assurance, of salvation before a God like this. Where your only hope, if you can even call it hope, your only gamble is just to be as obedient as you possibly can, but you never really can know. You can't even call that a faith anymore. You certainly can't call it Christian. The gospel is not obey. The gospel is Christ has obeyed for you. The gospel is not do this and you will live. That's the law. And none of us do it. And by the law alone, none of us should live. The gospel is Christ has done it and therefore you will live. You will be forgiven. Your salvation is assured. Do we deserve God's wrath? Absolutely. But Christ took it in our place at the cross, and there is our salvation and our hope. I'm Todd Wilkin. Thanks for listening to Issues, Etc.
Listen weekday afternoons to Pastor Todd Wilkin and guests on Issues, Etc. Issues, Etc. is a listener-supported program. Your financial support is vital for the continuation and expansion of this worldwide outreach. Our mailing address: Lutheran Public Radio, P.O. Box 912, Collinsville, Illinois, 62234. Box 912, Collinsville, Illinois, 62234. You can also donate at our website, issuesetc.org. Issues, Etc. is a production of LPR, Lutheran Public Radio.